Welcome to Fun with Scotch and Other Fine Spirits. This is episode 24, Canadian Whiskies, eh? And that's going to be the end of my Canadian things. But anyway.
We have no toques.
We have no toques.
No.
We have no moose.
No.
We do have a Mickey, which apparently is a flask of liquor, but we have like four Mickeys. But anyway, I'm Judy.
And John.
And Marlis.
And we have, as I said a minute ago, or actually not a minute, it just seems like a minute, four seconds ago.
33 seconds ago.
We have four Canadian whiskeys to ply your ears with tonight. We have Pike Creek Canadian Whiskey, Gibson's Finest, Pendleton's 1910, and R&R Reserve. So, Marlis, I've brought us Pike Creek and Gibson, so you start us off.
Right. Well, one thing that we all discovered as we were perusing the shelves at the local liquor store is that an awful lot of Canadian whiskeys don't tell you where they're from. They tell you that they were imported and bottled in the States, but not where they were originally distilled.
Canada.
Yeah. So
it's a small place.
Yeah.
Figured out.
I did some research, and both Pike Creek and Gibson's Finest, which were my contributions tonight, were distilled near Windsor, Ontario. And Pike Creek Canadian Whiskey, this is a new issue for them. These are finished up in rum barrels, so this is kind of a new thing. They're big. Claim to fame is that their warehouses or storage areas are non-climate controlled. There's no electricity. There are dramatic swings in temperature and humidity due to the severe Canadian weather. And they feel that this adds a real depth to the aging process. And then, like I said, this one is finished up in a rum cask. This is has an age statement. It's 10 years old. So it's been around for a while, getting old enough to come out and get introduced. The tasting notes are to expect dried fruit, pepper, toffee, and in the rum-aged whiskey, some molasses. So we'll see. Canadian whiskeys seem to be a little darker. There's some red tones in the colors.
What I was thinking with the two that we brought, that they were both very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
The color is gorgeous. And all of the ones that we have, your Gibson's looks less red.
Yeah.
But it could be the light,
palest,
too.
It's the palest, but it's still a nice...
Mm. Has a lovely aroma.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's overly alcohol smelling.
No.
Mm-mm. Okay.
Okay, so to taste it.
A little burny on the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the alcohol is more present in the taste than it is certainly in the smell.
But it's not real violent, you know.
No,
it's
not bad.
Yeah, definitely some dried fruit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really getting. Let me see what the rum comes
what was,
through.
What were the other? Oh, the rum.
Yeah, rum and toffee and that. Pepper. It is peppery, I think.
Yeah, and it definitely
it's got
is
some
that.
Spice to it.
I was thinking I might taste a little. I was thinking maple syrup, but maybe it's more molasses since
it has
that rum. The rum, that might be where the rum cask flavor is coming
wow,
in.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Yeah, I have to admit, this is another one of my blind spots, I guess, is that I've never really drunk Canadian whiskey before, so this is my...
Yes, Marlis.
Let's get acquainted.
Tell everyone your opinion of Canadian whiskey.
No.
Yes?
Okay.
You should.
It's one of those prejudices that I've had, like... Rye whiskey and Canadian whiskey, and a lot of Canadian whiskey has, you know, a fair amount of rye in it. I just sort of thought it was, you know, old farm guys sitting in dark little bars, you know, with their little beer in a bump kind of thing. Someone used that in a book I just read.
What does that mean?
Nice.
Well, a beer in a shot.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, love. Okay.
That's what I figured, yeah.
Yeah.
Got it. That wasn't in my list of Canadian slang sayings.
Yeah, I think it might be American. But anyway, so, you know, I'd never really, or that it was used mostly in mixed drinks.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd never really explored it before. So this is kind of interesting. And this first one, the Pike Creek, is pretty pleasant.
It's very nice.
I don't know that it's one of my favorites because...
Well, we don't know yet.
Yeah.
It might be by the end of the night.
That's
it might
true.
Be.
That's true. It is pretty good.
One thing I did want to mention, I should have mentioned it earlier. You mentioned that a lot of Canadian whiskey has rye. And as I was talking with you guys earlier, it says most Canadian whiskeys are blended multi-grain liquors containing a large percentage of corn spirits. When Canadian distillers began adding small amounts of highly flavored rye grain to their mashes, people began demanding this new rye-flavored whiskey, referring to it simply as rye. Today, as for the past two centuries, the terms rye whiskey and Canadian whiskey are used interchangeably in Canada and, as defined in Canadian law, refer to exactly the same product, which generally is made with only a small amount of rye grain. As all laws, they're kind of ambiguous and mm-hmm. you have to interpret. So, but that is, so rye whiskey and Canadian whiskey can be used interchangeably.
Right. And nothing that I saw, and granted, I only spent some time this afternoon looking for the two whiskeys I brought, was, I couldn't find what we would think of as a mash bill like you would have on an American bourbon. You know, so I couldn't, you can't find out, or at least I couldn't, what percentage rye, what percentage corn, what percentage malt is in there. So it's...
So if anyone out there knows where we can find that, let us know, because we would love to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so shall we move on to Gibson's Finest?
Yes. This is also has an age statement. It's been aged 12 years, and it's supposed to be rye and barley. And it's aged both in ex-bourbon barrels and new barrels. So... Gibson's Distillery was founded in Pennsylvania by Scottish immigrant John Gibson, but it migrated into Canada due to Prohibition, and it is now owned by Hiram Walker, which is located somewhere in Ontario, I think around Windsor, but I'm not real sure. So that's about all. I didn't really find tasting notes, so we'll have to see what we think.
Well, we get to make it up.
I know.
All right.
Mm-hmm. We'll give them our tasting notes.
Oh, this smells good. A little more delicate, maybe, than the Pike.
It also looks more delicate, as I mentioned a little while ago. It's a lot lighter in color. It's more blonde than
But
than,
still a nice amber, red. just without the red.
That's our new thing.
I'm sure it's a Canadianism of some sort. Yes.
Yeah. When they're not saying Klingon. A, they're saying de bleu.
Or maybe it's Klingon. De bleu.
De bleu.
Oh.
Oh, we haven't done Klingon in a while.
That's true.
Not since at all.
Okay. I'm trying to taste here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't spit it.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm smelling some spice and maybe some honey. It's hard to say, but there's a little sweetness. It's like you said, it's delicate.
Mm-hmm. It is, and the flavor is delicate. We almost probably should have had that one first.
Well, probably,
but we don't know, because these are things we've never had.
Yeah.
So it's hard to really bring out anything, because we had the Pine Creek first, or Pike Creek. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Again, my glasses are on my head. I can't read.
There is a tiny bit of a bite, but not much, just enough so you know it's there.
Yeah, my throat is warm.
Yeah.
That's what
I'm... And there's some oak, there's caramel, there's vanilla.
Mm. I get the vanilla.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
It's for those cold Canadian nights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the Pike Creek, I think you might almost want to mix it. But this one is nice all by itself.
Mm-hmm.
Pike Creek would be good on a cold night when you came in out of the rain.
And
wanted something to warm you up. It's got a nice flavor to it, but it definitely would...
kickstart.
Kickstart your system.
It's the thing you keep in your flask if you have to go out and shovel snow, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. John, you want to do the Pendleton's 1910? I don't think that one has any age.
Yes, it does. It's 12 years.
Oh, it's 12 years?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I saw it somewhere.
In your dreams.
12-year-old. It's on the back in tiny print.
Oh.
It's definitely there, though.
All right.
It is the prettiest bottle.
It is very... It's another one of those embossed bottles. It's a very pretty design. It might be slated for mouthwash. I don't know.
Probably have to keep that one, yeah.
Have to keep that one.
Yeah. So, the Pendleton brand serves as a nice introduction to the best of what Canadian whiskey has to offer. And their Pendleton 1910 takes an already impressive whiskey to the next level. Hood River Distillers, Oregon's oldest spirits company, established the Pendleton brand in 2003, Pendleton offers a collection of Canadian blended whiskies distilled in Canada, imported to the U.S., and brought to bottling proof with water from Mount Hood. The brand's name comes from the Pendleton Roundup, a major rodeo in Pendleton, Oregon, and, quote, one of the top 10 rodeos in the world. I'm not sure exactly who that quote's from, but...
Somebody in Pendleton, I'm going to bet.
Could where it probably will be, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I've actually been to the Pendleton Roundup once.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you wear your cowboy boots?
No.
And your little hat
My dad bought me the cowboy hat that I still have.
You still
there.
Have it?
Yeah. It's sitting on top of the armoire in the... in the living room. So anyway, sorry.
I'll look when I get home. I have no idea what he's talking about.
The Pendleton brand sponsors the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association and is the official whiskey of the Professional Bull Riders Velocity Tour.
Whoa.
The first Pendleton Roundup was held in 1910 and gives the bottle its name.
Mm.
So Pendleton 1910 differentiates itself from the normal Pendleton whiskey in that it's aged much longer. While regulation dictates Canadian whiskey must be aged for at least 3 years, Pendleton 1910 is aged in oak casks for 12 years, and it's also made from 100% rye.
Oh.
So that is the mash bill.
This is a true rye whiskey, then. Well, it actually says rye whiskey on the bottle.
It says 100% rye.
It says Canadian rye whiskey. Yeah.
Well, Marlis, I don't have my glasses on. And there's glare from the window, so,
And it also says age 12 years on the neck.
Oh, it does? I didn't look at the neck.
Yeah.
Always look up, people.
Yes.
Learned that one in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Always look. Yeah. Spent a lot of time in prison, did you?
Four and a half years.
We should mention that Judy worked in the prison, actually.
She was the librarian at the prison.
That's a little bit of make my tongue tingle as I.
Has a slightly stronger smell, a little more medicinal maybe.
Mm-hmm. When we were at the Hood River Distillery or the tasting room in May, there was a guy there who was asking for the Pendleton whiskey, and they we don't have it. We don't have it here at the tasting room, and so I guess they bottle it, but they don't actually have it in their tasting room. I didn't catch exactly why. I was trying not to be a creeper and listen to their whole conversation. So,
well, and it's kind of a mysterious process, you know, that all these things are born, so to speak, mm-hmm. in Canada, and then they are imported and they emerge in the United States, and it's kind of hard to.
I want to say I read somewhere that it has something to do with taxes and tariffs and. And such, like maybe if they ship it over or not bottled, they don't. There's not as high.
That could be.
I don't know that for a fact. Don't quote me. Actually, you should never really believe anything I say. So,
some things.
Well, maybe. Yeah, like if I like it.
Yeah.
I kind of like this one.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's
It tastes a lot like that Woodinville one, the rye whiskey we've had from Woodinville.
Yeah.
I guess it's because of all the rye.
Oh, that's right.
But it's not so sweet, mm-hmm. and there is kind of a mellowness in there, you know, mm-hmm. as you let it kind of sit for a minute. It's not real bitey,
mm-hmm.
and it's not overly spicy or overly sweet or over, you know, it's a very nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it. Mm-hmm. So far, I've liked all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So next, are you done, John? I'm sorry.
Yeah, actually, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Did not mean to cut you off. Next is the one that I didn't actually pick it out. John picked out both of ours, but I'm going to talk about this one because actually I used to. It's the Rich and Rare Reserve, and for a while, Rich and Rare was my cheap stuff that I would drink, and
your Scoresby.
It was my Scoresby, and it probably was just maybe a smidge better than Scoresby, but not much.
All right.
I don't do the Rich and Rare, so I'm very interested in how this one tastes compared to my memory mm-hmm. of the regular Rich and Rare. This one is 40% ABV. It's a blend. I don't think they put any years on the blends, but. The distiller is, this says, and again, this is on the internet. Not everything on the internet's true, so I'm just going with what this says. Hiram Walker is the distiller in Windsor.
Mm-hmm. So three of these guys come from the Windsor area.
And the reviewer on this, and this is In Search of Elegance.net, said that it's an odd experience for a Canadian to travel to United States and find Canadian whiskey in liquor stores which cannot be purchased in Canada. It's not solely a Canadian experience, as there are some export and duty-free bottlings not available elsewhere. However, there are quite a few labels I could not find in Canada. So he picked up a bottle of Rich and Rare Reserve, and he commented on its cost, which actually this is the one we chose to be our ultra cheap.
Yeah, budget friendly.
Like John looked up the like under $20 good Canadian whiskeys, or the best Canadian whiskeys under $20, and this was on the list. What was it? It was
like $18.99.
Was that with the tax and everything?
Well, I think it was. I'm not sure that he was supposed to give it to me at that price with tax. It was listed on the sign on the shelf at $18.99, and it, you know, I think he charged me $19 and some change, so I was a little confused about
that. But you got it automatically.
But yeah, obviously. But anyway.
And actually, I think where you went, you went to TJ's?
Yeah. T-Brothers or whatever.
T-Brothers or, yeah, something like that. The one with the gun shooting range in it.
Yeah.
Yes, folks, we have a liquor store with a shooting range.
That's right.
Always a good idea.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, John loves it.
I love it.
And it is an interesting experience going there, because we have gone there a few times.
As you're going into the liquor store, it's great.
Yeah. But the nose of this whiskey is supposed to be fruity.
It is, yeah. I'm kind of surprised, because some of the others are not
at all. With berry notes. Raspberries in particular. There's also maple, a bit of sappy oak, and butterscotch. This person thinks it lacks a bit of depth. There's also a sour rye corn aroma, he says, or they say. I do not know if it's a man or a woman. I'm assuming it's a man. Because, women don't drink scotch or whiskey or any of that stuff.
Right.
No. Of course not.
No.
Women don't drink straight alcohol. Right? That's always mixed drinks, like little umbrellas.
It's not. It's not
Lord
very ladylike.
Yeah.
Okay, let's have a little taste.
This is nice.
This is not bad at all.
Yeah, I am like stunned that it's this good and only costs under $20.
This is not the Rich and Rare regular.
Yeah,
let me tell you.
This is the reserve.
This is the reserve.
Okay.
And it totally.
It is mellow.
It does not taste anything like the other, as far as I'm concerned.
No, I did not like the original.
No, John wouldn't even drink it.
No.
It says soft. The taste is soft, mellow, and watery corn to start before the rye kicks in and takes command. There are stronger notes of caramel at the end of the taste. You guys getting that?
Well, I'm definitely getting more rye at the end. You know, it goes in and it feels just very soft and mellow, like the guy says. But then if you hold it in your mouth a while, it kind of digs in a bit.
Right.
You know, it kind of like, ooh, a little spicy, peppery kind of.
And it mentions a sweetness alongside the ginger and white pepper, which gradually dries out over the palate. It's a good rye for beginners or not those used to whiskey. Yeah, it's pretty mellow. Though I thought the Gibson's was pretty mellow as well. The finish, pretty strong finish. Initially spicy with some ginger, and then the rye takes over and remains with a touch of caramel and a bit of raspberry. Let's see.
Yeah, very tasty.
And then John gave me something he found. R&R was birthed during the Prohibition era. As Harry Hatch, who owned the Gooderham and Wurtz, which I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but sorry. Gooderham and Wurtz Distillery, and one of Canada's most successful whiskey entrepreneurs, distilled the first batch in Toronto. To go along with R&R's rich history, the Reserve blend is reminiscent of higher-end whiskey brands. I totally agree with that, because I have had the not higher-end one, boasting a honey toast. And floral, which is kind of funny because, this is the bottle that's under $20. Floral nose while being heavily influenced with spicy rye grain and oak barrels in its flavor. This one works well as a lone wolf over ice or in a mixed drink, it says.
Mix it a lot,
I guess.
Okay, so now we
put a little water in it.
Mm-hmm. I need some more of that stuff too, I think.
Now, I have to say, in general, while I'm enjoying these very much, I don't know that they're going to replace scotch.
In
my pantheon of things to drink.
But if somebody offers it to you and that's all they have.
No, right.
I have some more of the Pike Creek to go with my water.
Okay. They're not going to replace scotch.
No.
Yeah, they're...
Okay, but they're perfectly nice whiskeys.
Yeah, they're very good, though.
Mm-hmm. From our neighbors to the
and
north.
And maybe a little bit of the Gibsons again.
All right.
I think I'm okay with the R&R.
Okay.
The other two. For some reason, I didn't have as much of that. Maybe I was just thirsty when we started.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
I did have, a long day. In the coal mines. The coal mines with all them books. Okay.
So, Pike Creek with a little bit of water.
John still has.
Which, given that it's a creek, you would almost expect.
Yeah,
that definitely cools it down a bit.
I do not notice any difference, but maybe I didn't put enough water in.
Man, that's good. I love that smell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you can still taste the pepper, but it doesn't sort of attack the tongue like it did for a bit.
Yeah, a little less. That's that's just really yummy.
I'm just sitting here thinking, isn't it a Lynyrd Skynyrd song? And then one about a smell?
So I'm getting...
Oh, I don't know.
Somewhere between vanilla and caramel, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Tasty, though. Which says to me that this would stand up very well to being drunk over ice or, nursed on
Or anything. Yeah, over ice wouldn't quell it at all.
Yeah.
I mean, it would quell it a little bit, but you wouldn't lose the flavor.
No. Mm-hmm. Okay, Gibson's.
Gibson's.
So what did you call... The little bottle.
Oh, a Mickey.
A Mickey. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So the Pike Creek would go good in a Mickey on a cold day.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
All right.
Okay, Gibson's Finest. Now, I may have had less water per whiskey in this, but it's, I don't notice as much difference.
It was already, mellower than... Mm-hmm. Than the Pike Creek, so I don't know that... I might put a little more water in there and see if I see any difference. I don't know that I put... Because then I added more whiskey.
Whiskey.
Okay. Now I see a difference when I put more water in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it smooths it out a little bit, even though it didn't really need smoothing, but it did smooth it out a little.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. We're like, I like it. So this is going to be hard to pick.
I know, but that's...
Mm-hmm.
But they're all different, but they're all good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that we all chose well.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there aren't any bad Canadian whiskeys.
No, I wouldn't go that far.
Oh, no, R&R.
We
Never
did
mind.
Have the R&R.
The regular R&R.
Yeah.
All right.
Not the reserve.
It just had kind of a weird...
The
regular R&R to me just had this weird aftertaste.
Yeah,
remember last week I was like, aftertaste makes you think it's something bad, you know? And that's because like the R&R just had this weird funky after thing.
I did not care for it at all.
Now the 1910 Pendleton here smells much sweeter to me.
Mm.
With the water. It's like kind of creme brulee or caramel and...
Yeah, it's almost a candied aroma.
Mm-hmm,
it's kind
of...
That's good.
It doesn't taste that sweet. It's still got that nice, non-sweet, mellow hi there, I'm a whiskey. kind of attitude.
Yes.
Yeah, the flavor is much less sweet than the aroma. The aroma is very, very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But this I think would also stand up with some ice or if you want to put some water in it.
Mm-hmm.
Or ice and water.
Yeah. Yeah. But you don't need either.
You don't need either.
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
The way it is.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now finally the R&R Reserve with a little bit of water. I don't notice that much difference.
I know. I was gonna say I don't really notice much difference.
No, I didn't have that much left in my glass, so I just put a little bit of water.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe.
But I did put a fair amount, a good enough amount in mine, and it I just think it. It just does well with a little... So, again, it would be okay with ice, a little bit of water. All of these are, I'm stuck on which ones I like better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
Well, I like the Pendleton 1910 and the Gibsons. I think I like the, mm-hmm. well, and I mean, all of them are perfectly drinkable.
Oh, yeah.
This is the important
thing. Yeah, they're not going to go wanting in our cabinets.
And the other thing to note is that all of them are considerably cheaper than many of the scotches that we know and love.
What, that's true.
How do you remember what you paid for your Pike Creek and Gibsons?
They were both under 30.
Okay.
Really?
And John,
at least for the main... I think I paid 75 with all the taxes for the two of them.
For the two? Oh,
so,
yeah.
That's good.
You know, not bad.
So, John, what was the Pendleton 1910?
The
Pendleton. That one was more expensive, wasn't it?
It was in the 30s. Mm-hmm. It might have been in the high 30s. Yeah, this one printout I have listed mm-hmm. it as $38. I don't recall what the actual price was that we paid.
Mm-hmm.
But it was close to that, I think. But all of these are pretty affordable,
mm-hmm.
Considering how good they are.
Mm-hmm. And the Rich and Rare, like, you know, we said it's under 20.
Yeah.
I mean, in comparison, the regular Rich and Rare, what size bottle did we usually buy? That was like the half gallon size or whatever. That was also probably under $20, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. I think it was like, it was like around $20, mm-hmm. but it was a very large bottle.
It was a very large bottle.
For, mm-hmm. Much lower quality.
It's like one of the Costco size bottles, you know.
Yeah.
But it just, which is another whiskey or scotch you don't want to try.
Mm-hmm.
Kirkland, no.
Some of them, but not all of them.
The Kirkland scotch was the blend, I think.
Yeah.
No. Was not good.
I don't know.
What did we ever drink?
Their
that?
Lowest priced blend, yeah. I did not care for that at all.
What did we do with it?
I think. What I did was mix it with something I really liked.
Oh, yeah.
And until it was all gone.
It's like you don't want to waste that dollar.
Yeah.
Well, no. Hey.
Well, hey. And it still tasted good that way.
Yeah.
So, you know, even if you buy a bottle that's really cruddy.
And I think...
You know, you might have something that you like that you'd be willing to, like, blend a little bit of it together and try it. You know, you may be able to make it go quite a ways.
Oh,
and,
I think you mixed it with one of the smoky ones that you like.
Yeah, and the one
and
from
it
Trader
like,
Joe's.
Yeah, Finlaggen.
Yeah, Finlaggen.
And it, I think it kind of like smoothed out the smokiness a little bit, but you didn't have that Kirkland scotch flavor.
It made the, you know, the Isla Finlaggen a little less smoky and peaty. And completely masked the horribleness of the Kirkland that I didn't care for. So it was pretty good, actually. That way.
And remember, we are not snobs when it comes to like scotch and all that. I mean, we'll try lots of stuff, but, you know, we do have our limits. Our taste buds, you know, still work. So we will say if we don't like something.
Yeah, and there were a couple of brands that I actually wanted to try, but in my actual store that I went to, they were not available in, one was not available. It's a Lowen McKinnon or Lowen McLennan, and it's lightly peated, and I think it's either from British Columbia or Vancouver Island. So I wanted to try that because local, you know.
Vancouver Island sure wasn't, you know, lightly kelped.
No, I don't think so.
Kelped, yeah.
Okay. But anyway, you know, I and 40 Creek was another one that had gotten some good reviews. But at my store, they were only, Lowen McLennan wasn't available at all. And 40 Creek was, they just had like a large format bottle, which if you don't know if you will like it, is kind of a, but it was still under $50 for that large format bottle, which is what I will pay for, you know, my big jug of Dewars that I use daily.
Right.
So they're Canadian whiskeys can be a bargain, so give them a chance.
And you don't even have to go to Canada for them. Actually, the one reviewer said he knew that if R&R Reserve was in Canada that he could get, that it would not have been as cheap.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing it got him. He was like, I don't think it would have been as cheap if, you know, up in Canada. What are you doing?
Well, I'm they're watching me commit sacrilege.
She's making a whiskey. She's doing a whiskey suicide.
She's making her own blend.
And for those of you who don't know what a suicide is,
it's pretty good.
It is. You know, remember when you were a kid and you would go to the soda fountain soda and you would like put like all the different flavors, all of them in one cup until it was full, and then you drink it. Did they have fountain sodas when you were a kid?
Oh, for God's sake.
She's a bad woman.
I can vouch for that.
You guys just don't know. Just don't know.
The
other day he told me I was funny and charming. Now I'm a bad woman.
Yeah, no, well,
suicide,
I said that.
Go,
but he agreed.
Well,
Coke, Dr. Pepper, you know.
Yeah. Mountain Dew. All of them.
Yeah, you just
mix
like,
it all. Especially when you went to the skating rink.
That
was the thing to do.
And
then you drank it.
All the flavors.
All right.
Yeah, that's the thing. I have not done that probably for 50 years.
But they were just little bits and pieces, and I wanted them all in one glass. So.
Well, we do have our Infinity bottle.
Infinity.
That's right.
But that's all Scotch so far.
That's true.
Do we want to actually put a Canadian in there?
No. I don't know.
Should we?
I know.
It sounds
ethical question.
I don't know. Well, we're going to have to ponder.
I know.
Because, you know, should we discriminate?
Yes. I'm a bad
I'm pretty person. Sure we've put American whiskeys in there. You have
I'll check.
You think so?
Yeah.
I wrote on the bottle.
Okay, we will check. And if we have put American whiskeys in there, we cannot be bad to the Canadians. Because they'd be nicer than we are.
Well, sure.
That's true.
Sure.
So, we have four great things here in front of us. Mm-hmm. If you want pretty bottles and good taste, we've got the Pendleton. If you want, something that's under $20, we've got the Rich and Rare Reserve.
Yeah, don't.
That's important. The reserve part is really important, folks. Remember that. Mm-hmm. And then we have Marlis's Pike Creek and the Gibsons. I mean. Mm-hmm. They all have something to offer. If you want things on the little bit of a lighter side, I would recommend the Gibsons and the Rich and Rare Reserve. A little more flavor would be the Pike Creek and the Pendleton 1910. Is that fair?
I would concur.
Okay. All right. So I don't know where we're going next in our journey.
I know. We must say a fond farewell to Canada, though.
Yeah,
our neighbors to the north.
Our neighbors to the north. And actually not too far north from us. I mean,
no, that's true.
Less than 4 hours probably would get us there.
We're close.
Or 4 hours maybe. Mm-hmm. So, I actually love Vancouver Island, by the way. We can get there by ferry. And it's fun.
I want to go to some of the islands between Vancouver Island and the mainland. They're kind of like the San Juans, only they're in Canada.
Yeah.
So. That's right.
I bet you the TV show alone is where a lot of those...
We need to research some distilleries on Vancouver Island.
Yes, we do.
We can visit.
And John and I need to get our enhanced license so that we can go. Uh-huh, right now we are America, tied to America. We cannot go anywhere.
You don't have a passport?
My passport
expired.
So we cannot go anywhere right now.
America.
America. But our licenses expire in October, so we have to get them.
Right.
So we're going to get the enhanced ones so that we can fly on an airplane come October 2020 and go to Canada. So, all right. So till next time, we don't know what to promise you for next time.
No.
We have to duke it out over it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It'll be a surprise to us too, probably. All right, you guys have a good night.
Bye.